Well, good morning. I could hardly be more excited to be here this morning. Several weeks ago when Matt asked if I could speak on this date, I'm Shane Bennett. I fill in for Matt from time to time. He asked if I could speak. It was open on my calendar. I said, sure, because I love it. And then it began to dawn on me that this is the first full Sunday when students are back in school and back here. And I went, yeah. And tried not to let Matt know that because, you know, he's sitting on a lake somewhere going, oh, man, I wish I were there. But he's not, so he will be next week, though. So come back next week, unless you've got some really killer Labor Day thing going on, and then enjoy that and come back in 2 weeks. So I grew up outside of Farmland, Indiana. Anybody know Farmland? Like the town, not the everywhere. Grew up on this land that our family homesteaded 1830 sometime. This is like the classic Hoosier sort of deal. We lived here. My grandma lived across the field there. Next to her house was the barn. Between was this gully. And in the gully was a little old pump like this. Nobody ever used it. Relic from the past. But one day when I was maybe four or so, I thought, I'm going to go pump that pump. I'm going to make water for myself. So I went out there, and I grabbed it. It was encrusted in rust. I lifted the handle up. It made horrendous, terrible noises. I pushed it down, and nothing. I thought, because, you know, like you, I come from a world where if you want water, you turn the faucet, voila. So I pumped it again, nothing. Third time, nothing, except I began to hear this low, sort of noise. But I didn't have the brains to figure out what was going on, so I kept pumping. Fourth pump, on the way down, that low turned into a kind of roar, and out the spout came a swarm of yellow jackets. Now, if you've watched cartoons or you've heard me tell this story before, you know what they did, right? They formed up an arrow, like this, and they started looking around. See who had destroyed their house. It was me. I ran as fast as my fat little legs would take me to my grandma's house, where I escaped with my life. And I tell you that for two reasons. One, to give you a slight window into the trauma that was my childhood. That was as bad as it got, so I feel kind of lucky. And two, because I want to draw this distinction, or just like pay attention for a minute, to how sometimes expectation is betrayed by reality. You know, I so wanted this cool, clear Indiana water for myself, and instead I got wasps. And this is a reality that's true beyond just that, you know, in different parts of our life. Let me give you some examples. Maybe you've seen some of this. The expectation versus the reality of the first snowfall. Oh, I was hoping it was so much better. Or what it might be like if you're smiling at the camera, and what it looks like. I'm trying not to be in everybody's way. Sorry about that. The Christmas tree, what Martha Stewart says and what you actually get. Falling asleep in public, what you imagine you will look like and what sadly you end up looking like. So sometimes expectation does not live up. Sometimes reality betrays our expectation in any number of ways. And it happens relative to churchy kind of stuff. Sometimes our expectation or what we think might be true about church, about the kingdom of God, about being along the way with Jesus, we find out isn't really the case. And because of that possibility, what I want to do this morning is just take a few minutes and, as it seems, sounds audacious in my own head, but tell you, think with you, what you can expect from the kingdom of God. And what you can expect from Common Way as a tiny little sliver of a subset of the kingdom of God. So I just want to dig into what can, honestly, what can we expect from this life with God, and what can we expect from life here? Now, in an ideal world, life in the body of Common Way is an exact miniature replica of life in the kingdom of God. However, and probably I don't need to tell you this, just remind you, Common Way, unfortunately, is made up of a bunch of misfits and screw-ups and people with problems and issues and sin. The church is full of liars and thieves and cheats and hypocrites. Welcome! That's who we are. And because that's who we are, what happens right here in the midst of our little tiny outpost of the kingdom of God is not going to exactly reflect what God says about his entire kingdom. But you know what? We are giving it a go. And we are doing our best, all of us together, to live into and to live out this kingdom of God. So three things out of hundreds, maybe, that you can expect about the kingdom of God. I just want us to think about three this morning. Three things that you can expect. The first thing is this. You can expect a welcome. You can expect a welcome into the kingdom of God, and you can expect a welcome into Common Way. I love this. This idea starts clear at the beginning of the book. If you have a Bible and you want to turn here, go to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible starts off, just let me pause for a minute while you're turning there. Hello, Sarah. I don't know if she can she see, we're Skyping Sarah from far away on the other side of the planet. So fun to have you there. You know, if somebody wants to sit with Sarah, there are a couple of good seats up here, and she would like that. So here's how the Bible starts off. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, I love that phrase, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, to the degree to which these early verses of the Bible are poetry, because they are poetry and there are a lot of things, and there are all kinds of things we can learn from them for sure. Think about that image of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And one of the things that says to me, and it says this pretty deeply, is here is God when there is nothing, leaning forward, hovering, drawing near into this nothing, welcoming what he's going to create into existence, welcoming you and me before there was anything. Spirit of God is hovering over that emptiness, calling it forth, welcoming it. Now, it was not very long in terms of pages in the Bible between this Spirit of God hovering over the waters and what happens in Genesis chapter 3 when God's people, you know, the pinnacle of his creation, when they fly the creation right into the side of a mountain. They rebel against God, and most of us are probably familiar with that story. I don't want to rehash it for you, but I want to draw your attention to the very first thing we hear God say after creation has been broken. It's beautiful, wonderful, endorsed by God, creation. It's destroyed. And here's what God says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Just let that sink in your mind for a second. The first thing we hear God say after creation has been destroyed, after this rebellion has taken place, is, "Where are you?" And that invitation, that response, I think, to the intimacy that was broken between man and God, that welcoming back into connection with God, as it starts there, it unfolds throughout the Old Testament. God wooing his people, calling his, welcoming his people into relationship with him, his people doing it and then getting bored or getting tired or going off on a cooler looking path and then getting in trouble, and then God saying, "Come back," and then being welcomed back. See this again and again through the Old Testament. And then we have Jesus' example. When Jesus shows up, kind of the ultimate picture of God reaching out and walking us into what he's doing. Jesus shows up as the Messiah for the Jews, but he's always getting off script. He's always getting off the rails and going and hanging out with the most unlikely candidates, welcoming them into what he is doing. Hanging out with women who were in serious trouble, kind of the worst kind of trouble you could get, sleeping with guys who weren't their husband, and in a culture where the guys, who knows where they went, but the women were going to punish her, and it happens far too often still today. Hanging out with women who were outsiders to their own community, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Hanging out with these lying, thieving, cheating tax collector with short man syndrome, saying, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, dude." And then having this whatever kind of conversation took place around that meal, and then saying, "Salvation has come to this house." Again and again and again, we see Jesus going after people that were the least likely candidates. So I believe this principle is true. If you sit here, and I don't know why you're here this morning, I'm glad you are, but if you sit here and you think, you know, I can see these other guys being welcomed, and Barb, because she's so sweet and she loves those kids, but I don't fit, I'm not the right stuff. Let me say this. The degree to which you feel like you are not the kind of person that could be welcomed probably corresponds to the intensity with which God welcomes you into his kingdom. Because you see it throughout the Bible, going after the people who thought they were the least likely candidates. So we have this amazing welcome. Now, one of the metaphors that the Bible uses for this invitation into God's kingdom, joining with what God's doing in the world, is that of adoption. Paul, one of the guys that wrote most of the New Testament, he says this, but then the right time came. God sent his son. A woman gave birth to him. He was born under the authority of the law. He came to set free those who were under the law. He wanted us to be adopted as children with all the rights children have. The welcome that you are given into the kingdom of God is that of adoption, having all the rights of a child. You're not just hired on as, we'll take you, we've got one spot, but you're welcomed in as children. So we are welcomed into the kingdom of God, adopted as children, part of his family. Now, if you've been around Common Way for a while, and you go, well, welcome's all cool, but I kind of been here for a while, can I just remind you that you are welcome here? You're not the mascot. You're not the loony uncle that has to be invited to the family gatherings. You fit. You belong here, because together we are the welcomed of God and we are the welcomers. Now, to wrap this up, I want to share with you one of the funnest things I've read in a while. A Catholic church someplace used this as part of their effort to welcome newcomers. They printed this in their program. And let me just read this through with you, because it's kind of, it plumbs some of the depths of the extensiveness of God's welcome for us. We extend a special welcome to those who are, this was in their program, single, married, divorced, gay, filthy, rich, dirt, poor, you know, hablo inglés. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying, newborn, skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We welcome you if you can sing like Andrea Bocelli or like our pastor who can't carry a note in a bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail. We don't care if you're more Catholic than the Pope or haven't been to church since little Joey's baptism. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome soccer moms, NASCAR dads who are up till midnight watching the Bristol race last night, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarian junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps, or if you don't like organized religion, we've been there too. If you blew all your offering money at the dog track, you're welcome here. We offer a special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma's in town and wanted to go to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down your throat as a kid, or got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, doubters, bleeding hearts, and you. That is the pervasiveness of the welcome that God extends. That is the goal or the hope, the pervasiveness of the welcome that Common Way extends in this community. It does not matter who you are. Our Jesus was often after the least likely. Now, number one, we have this welcome. I think you can expect that in the kingdom of God, and I want us to expect it at Common Way. What that does is it brings us into a place for the second thing that I think you can expect. Now, I struggle to find a way to kind of give this a one-word sum up, but something like shelter or a respite or rest in God, regardless of how things are going or how they will go in the near or distant future, you have a place of stability and security. The Bible describes this in a number of ways. Here's one description of it. From the Psalms. Psalm 91 starts off, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I love this image of resting or taking shelter in the shadow of the Almighty. Regardless of what happens, as people welcomed into the kingdom of God, we can expect a firm place, a place of security. Because you know what? Some of us will be dealt a handful of hell in the coming months. I don't know what it will be like. Some of us will lose a job. Some of us will lose to death a relationship, or lose a relationship to betrayal. Some of us might flunk out of our first term at college, and we swore to our mom that we would not let that happen above anything else. Some of us may have slid across a doctor's desk, a diagnosis which invites you into a new normal. As dark as what lies ahead for us in this broken world, we have a place. because it can get pretty dark. It can get pretty scary. I want to share with you a little snip from a blog of a pastor friend of mine. Now, this guy is quite possibly one of the most successful pastors in the state. You know, he would be on a short list of up-and-coming cool pastors who have it together and are doing great stuff. He posted this on his blog, what he'd written in his journal sometime this summer. In this last year, I have felt that soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, and an inky blackness inside of me. At the darkest moments, I felt incapacitated and swallowed up by it. I cried out, but it seemed my voice echoed in the dark. And I want you to know, in that darkest place, we have a foundation. We have a shelter. Maybe you're in a situation now that causes you to want to quote, like one of our own quoted on Twitter this past week, quoting the Cold War kids, "I've got a black belt in doubt." Now, if that is you, you still have a place. You still have this place of security where you fit and where God is faithful to take care of you. Jesus said this about what we find in him. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, right now, at the outset of the new fall, and everything, you know, it's great, and we're going to sing that great song again at the end of the service. Maybe you're not feeling so burdened and heavy and weary, but that time may come. Or perhaps that's where you are right now. Jesus says this to you, "All who are weary and burdened, come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke," or my set of teaching, symbolically, this oxen yoke. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus offers us a place of stability and security, a firm foundation. Now, how does this work out in common way? There was a time, maybe still is in some places, where people would flee to the church building, for sanctuary. They would run there if they were fleeing the law, if they were fleeing angry relatives, if they were fleeing persecution of some sort. And if they could just get into church, then it was kind of like a safety zone. Now, good luck trying that with the Horizon Center. I don't think it transfers. So how does that work out with us together living out this value, living out this expectation of shelter or security? For us, that's manifest primarily through relationships, through our connectedness with each other. We have each other's back. We are submitted and dependent upon each other. And to the degree to which we're knit together, we provide that kind of shelter and security. 1 Corinthians renders it this way, but Paul says, if one part suffers, one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are sanctuary for one another. Now, in a practical sense, one of the key ways that works out is through our small groups. So I just want to back up what Jim said a little bit ago, that the small group is a place where you can build the stuff that will provide that kind of shelter and that security. Now, you can get small groups all over the place, and I don't think particularly common ways are the best, and they're better than any, but find some place, somebody, where you are known and where you know people, and you can offer this to each other. We take shelter in God, and we provide shelter for one another. So you can expect a welcome. You can expect shelter. And then third, I want to share this third one with you because I hate the whole bait and switch thing. You know, do you hate that? You know, you're trying to buy something online, and every screen you go, it pops up another fee, and you got a shipping and tax and this and that, or maybe another, you take a new job, and every day it seems like they add this nasty task that wasn't part of the position description. You go, where did this come from? Or perhaps you invite somebody to join your euchre club. Turns out they're an axe murderer. And you just go, I did not. Am I the only one that happens to? I don't like the bait and switch thing. And sometimes I think that we can give off that sense, maybe in the church, like, come here, it's going to be great, you're welcome, you get a rest, it's going to be sweet. Oh, did I tell you some of this other stuff? So I just want to be absolutely upfront with you. Number three, we expect a welcome, we expect rest, and you can expect an invasion. Sorry about the militaristic image. It's not really totally cool now, but I thought, what is a good replacement for that? And I was thinking maybe a bacterial invasion, but that makes us all queasy. So just roll with this for a minute. As you surrender yourself, as you accept this welcome into the kingdom of God, as you enjoy and participate in the respite and the shelter that God offers, we need to also expect an invasion. Because the same Jesus who said that stuff about you're weary, you're tired, come to me. I have something easy for you. He also said this to his disciples. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And I read that and I go, well, dang, I don't like that so much. Deny myself? No, I want to honor myself. I want to say yes to me. And maybe you're not so much like me, but I don't want to deny myself. Take up your cross. Jesus is saying, you lift up the implement of your execution and you carry it to your death. Part of what we are welcomed into, part of this kingdom of God in which we find shelter and security and foundation, involves dying. And I just want you to know that up front. If you're just exploring this, I want to remind you, if you've been around for a while, that that's the case. A friend of mine wrote this last week. He said, death is the entry-level course of discipleship for everybody, not some upper division elective for the most committed. Accepting this welcome, enjoying this rest, involves dying to who we are. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it. The goal of this death, is transformation. The main focus is not for you to sin less or for me to sin less or be nicer. The goal is for God to transform our lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. So we have this invasion. God says, I want it all. I want to take over. I want you surrendered to me. And just parenthetically, let me say this. This invasion, this transformation that God has in mind, that God is working out in all of us, it bumps up to those slides of welcoming. Everybody is welcome here. And there's some places where there's conflict there. You know, if you spend all your money at the dog track, well, that's fine. You're still welcome here. If you're still spending all your money at the dog track and your kids aren't eating a year from now, maybe that's a problem. If you're spending your money at the dog track, I pick that as the least likely example of anything. I don't know if we can bet on dogs around here. Maybe we can. But it bumps into each other. And the challenge for us as a body trying to follow Jesus, trying to receive this welcome into God's kingdom is, what does the Bible say about these things? God welcomes the most messed up people, and many of us are good examples of that. But at the same time, God seems pleased to help really messed up people out of their messes. And sometimes that hurts, and sometimes that involves death. This invasion has at least two facets. One, God is remaking each of us into the image of Christ. God is reshaping and reforming us so that then, two, he can send us out to participate in what he is doing to transform the planet. I love this about God, that he is working out transformation in us so that he can send us out into our campuses, into the places where we work, into the streets, into the farmland, into the world, to join with him in this transformation that he is working on the entire planet. Now we get into serious trouble, and we have people crashing and burning all the time who are trying to be out there transforming the planet and not allowing God to transform them. It makes all of us look bad, and it brings shame and dishonor on God. So we've got to get the order, let God transform us, and then answer the invitation that comes with this invasion to be his agents of transformation throughout the planet. Worship band, if you want to come up, let me just wrap up a couple thoughts, and then I'll finish, we'll take up an offering, and we'll sing one more song. This response to the invasion of Christ in our lives and our response to the invitation to be agents of transformation, a common way we call it living the mission. And I just want to tell you this, that it is hard for me to imagine a better deal than the deal that God offers us, that we are welcomed into his kingdom. We are welcomed into his body. That we have a shelter for the fiercest storm. We have a foundation that endures through everything. And then we have the privilege to join with him in what he is doing. We're walking into the arms, the care, the kingdom of our Creator, to a place of rest and shelter through great trial. And we have opportunity to join with God in the growth of his kingdom on earth as he makes everything new. This is what the Apostle John sees and hears at the last book of the Bible. And yeah, you can go, dude, we did the whole Bible. Started at the beginning, ended at the end. He hears this. He who is seated on the throne said, and just try to imagine the voice with which this was said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God is remaking everything, and he invites us to participate with him in that. Now, we're going to take up an offering. If it's your first time here, don't give money, all right? We don't want your money. If you've been here for a while, then you can ask God, and that might be a good idea. Just a bit of protocol, all these things that are on the seats around, they all go in regardless of they're written on or not. And let me just remind you, if you want info on small groups, check that off. Write your email incredibly plainly. Even if it's your new your bsu.edu email. You've got it. Write it down. If you want to serve in the children's ministry, check that one. If you want to volunteer, check the ways to serve the community. If you want info on Jack's List, write Jack's List on there. If you want to know what Common Way is doing in the world, check upcoming mission opportunities. And your email will be farmed out to people who will send you information in those various areas. And we're just going to send you, one from each thing you check. We're not going to spam you or anything crazy like that. So if you want some of that, make sure you check it. And everything goes in the box. Ushers, go ahead and let me pray for this offering, and then I'll be quiet while we sing. And once the buckets are past you, then if you want to stand up and join the song, that'd be great. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that when we were dead and separated, when we were your enemies, you came after us and you welcomed us into your kingdom. Lord, may everything you have in mind to do in us and through us come to pass for the sake of your great name, for your purposes to remake heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, amen.